Good morning, everyone. All right. Good to see all of you here this morning. If you're visiting us for the first time today, welcome. We're so glad you're here. Thanks for joining us. I thought I would just personally highlight, there are a lot of things going on here, and want to just encourage you to, especially if you're new, kind of get plugged in. And I think the best way for you to sort of meet people, not just meet people, but really get to know people, is through some of these events here. And I thought I would just share. I went snowboarding for the first time in my life about 3 weeks ago. And my elbow is still hurting. But it was a lot of fun. So if I could do it, I'm sure all of you could do it. So please come out. I think it'll be fun. Again, like the lodge, my wife just stayed inside and drank cocoa and made lunch for the kids. So if you want to just hang out, that's good too. Hopefully I could, again, as Pastor Tracy talked about, hopefully we could kind of connect with some of these informal gatherings. I think they're helpful in building community. So hopefully you could come out to these things, especially if you're new. We started to look at the book of Proverbs last Sunday, and I hope that some of you left last Sunday thinking, man, that's what I need this coming year. I need more of God's wisdom in my life. That's because if you recall, we talked about how wisdom is having skill to understand how life works so that you can live life well. We talked about having understanding or insight. We talked about discretion, having foresight. We talked about through these means we can make good decisions. And so, more I think about the book of Proverbs, it's really important and essential to our Christian life. I think the essence of the book is about life and death in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs has 66 occurrences of the word life or live. It uses the word death or die about 20 times. And so the heartbeat of the book is this. It's a father figure, God coming as a father figure, giving counsel to his son. So chapter 2, we'll look at that today. It's addressed my son. So it's a father figure coming to a son or a daughter wanting to give his best counsel so that he or she can live. The Bible talks about death and dying, and oftentimes we think it as a physical death that all of us will experience. But Bible talks in a more broad and a deeper way. When it talks about death, often it's talking about our sphere in life or domain or realm of our experience of life. And it's contradicting and it's conflicting with life that God has for us. But Jesus came and he says, I want to give you life, an abundant life, right? So that's, on the one hand, God wants to give us life, a full life, life that is in Christ, the life that he accomplished for us on the cross, that life, he wants to give it to us and he wants us to live it fully, right? On the other hand, there's death and it encroaches upon our life constantly. And all of us here, we often stray towards death daily. We experience things like shame and guilt and anxiety and suffering and confusion and sickness and boredom and especially sin. And those things are things that kind of, it's death. It's not of God, but it's death that will be final once we die. And if you're apart from Christ, that's what we will experience. But it's kind of spilling over into this life. And so Book of Proverbs, it's basically saying, as a wise father, he's counseling us to say, be careful over here because there's death lurking. Like in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 18, it's a wise father talking to his son. He's talking about sexual sin, and he basically says, the dead are there. So it's a wise counsel from God, our Heavenly Father, giving us instruction and wisdom so that we can fully experience life, an abundant life. That's what the book is about. It's really about life and death. Experiencing life or experiencing death. Are we living or are we dying? So in chapter 2, the author begins to now help us to know how to get that. How do we get wisdom, right? How do we start? So let's look at that. And I want to start from reading the last two verses of chapter 1. So chapter 1, verse 32, it says, "For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster." Chapter 2, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Okay, we'll pause there. So the essence of this chapter is basically God's calling us to have a sense of urgency about seeking wisdom, right? And at the end of chapter 1, the verse, it says, "For simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them." So one of the ways that this chapter describes for us a foolish person is someone who is complacent. This person is not hating on God. He's not cursing God. He's not even chasing after evil, but he's just simply complacent, meaning he's okay with where he is with life. He's okay with where he is with God. And he is sort of drifting along, complacency, drifting along. And the Bible says that will destroy him. On the other hand, he says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments," right? Making your ear attentive, inclining your heart. If you call out for insight, raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver and search for like hidden treasures. What is he saying? He's saying rather than being complacent, he's urging us to seek after God's wisdom. And here's what he's getting at. He's getting at our default mode is not wisdom. We're not born wise. Actually, we are born foolish. We are fools at heart. So when we stand still and let things come by, just drift, we will eventually drift further and further away from wisdom and life that God has for us. And that's what he's saying here. So be earnest. May there be a sense of urgency in your seeking wisdom. In John chapter 5, there's a story that's recorded for us, and it's a story about a man who was paralyzed or invalid for 38 years. And Jesus sees him, and so Jesus goes to him, and this is his question. He says, "Do you want to be healed?" So when you look at that, you go, why does Jesus ask that question? I mean, he's been sick for 38 years, right? And so we would think, of course he wants to get healed. Of course, that's not, what kind of question is that? Why does Jesus ask this person who's been sick for 38 years, "Do you want to be healed?" Why? Well, Jesus is getting at the heart of complacency. Was he sick? Yes. Did he need healing? Yes. But at the same time, he was complacent. Sadly, he was okay being sick. Sadly, he was okay being paralyzed. When Jesus asked, "Do you want to be healed?" His response is not, "Yes, Lord." No. He has an excuse. He says, "Well, the other people are jumping in front of me to this pool and I have no opportunity to get better." So the question that this Proverbs is asking us today is, do you want to be healed? Do you want to grow? Do you want to change? Do you want to be better? Do you want to be healed? That's the question. For some of us, it might be that, you know, it's been a long time perhaps. You know, you've been at this Christian life for a while, and maybe some of you here are tired. You know, your attitude with, you know, you've been maybe trying to read the word, or, you know, you're trying to pray, or maybe you're struggling with certain sin, and you're just tired, and your mindset now is, it is what it is. Like, you know, why should I care so much? Like, this is how it is. I mean, I've tried before, and I'm, you know, but this is who I am. This is my circumstances. And you're maybe perhaps ready to sort of drift along in life. This is what it is. You know, 38 years, I'm, you know, this is my condition. This is my situation. All the people are getting in front of me. You know, it's not going to get better. Maybe that's where you are. Well, God is asking you today, as you start this new year, a simple question. Do you want to get better? That's what, you know, the essence of this, sort of the first four verses are about. Do you want to get better? The first four verses, it doesn't actually have a command. The verbs are all, the tenses are just asking questions. Like, is there basically saying, do you have this desire? Do you want God's wisdom for you? That's the question. And so as we start this new year, I think that's a good question to ask. You know, is there a desire for God's wisdom in my life? Let me just answer that for you. My guess is yes. Because you're here, right? If you didn't have any desire for God, or if you didn't want to grow, you would not be here. It's cold outside. Like, you could have been doing many different things, I think. You could have stayed home, you know, be warm, cup of coffee, kick back, maybe read some book, Netflix, you know, playoff games coming up. You know, that's relaxing. Yeah, that's so much better. But you're here. And so my guess, and I'll just answer that question for you. Yes! You want to grow. Yes, you want more of God's wisdom. Yes. I think this is helpful. Some of you might be thinking, well, I thought the Christian life was about resting, not striving, like not longing, not. And the answer is yes. It's yes to both. Look with me again. Let's look at those last two verses in chapter 1 one more time. It says, "For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them, but whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster." So what are these two verses saying? It seems like to me that there are two types of resting. One resting is complacency. The other resting is in verse 33, where someone who listens and will dwell secure and will be at ease. I think what it's saying is complacency is a counterfeit rest. We want to just kick back and, you know, kind of let things be. And we think that's restful, but in fact, that's not restful. It doesn't bring rest to your soul. The real rest comes, it says, verse 33, whoever, first of all, it's offered to anyone, whoever. But the key phrase is what? Whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease. The key phrase is whoever listens. So the offer to give you rest is for all of you. God wants you to be secure and at ease, but it's for those who listen. And that's where striving comes in, right? It, the meaning of this word listen is reverent listening. It's paying attention to what God has to say. That's what the first four verses is talking about. Are you inclined to listen to God's instruction for your life? That's what it is. And if you are to do that, there will be rest. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 11, right? It says, you know, he promises to give you rest. But if you remember, he says, come to me, and I will give you rest. What's the key phrase there? Come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. What's our responsibility? Well, we need to come to him. We need to face him. We need to turn away, perhaps, from other things that we run to get comfort or rest. Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. And that, friends, is striving. Well, that looks like, practically looks like prayer. Practically looks like reading the word, coming to corporate worship. That's it. Come to me, Jesus says. And so Jesus, God, your Heavenly Father, wants to give you rest and security. He wants you to be at ease. But how we do that is we listen. And so this first four verses is simply asking us, is there a sense of urgency in your soul for God's wisdom? Jesus, do you want to be healed? Is there a desire? So that's sort of the first question. And the rest of chapter 2 then is basically telling us, here are now benefits of you seeking after wisdom of God. Okay, so, you know, if you have your Bibles open, the first four verses uses the conditional phrase, if, right? If you receive my word, verse 1, verse 3, if you call out for insight, verse 4, if you seek it like silver, and then verse 5, it says, then, and then verse 9, it says, then. So the chapter is talking about if you are to do this, right? If you will seek wisdom from me, then. Well, the first then is verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield for those who walk in integrity, guarding the path of justice and watching over the way of saints. So the first benefit of seeking God's wisdom is that we will understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. So meaning, as we seek God's wisdom, we will have an intimate, profound relationship with God. So last Sunday, if you were here, we talked about how it says fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. Here it says if you seek wisdom, you'll understand the fear of the Lord. So it's a cycle, right? It's like we said fear of the Lord is basically being open to God and placing him at the center of all of your life. Now, if you were to do that, we said that will help you to be wise. Here in this chapter, it's talking about as you seek wisdom, as you seek understanding, you will know more of God. And so it's a cycle. You seek God, and God will give you wisdom. In that wisdom, you understand more of God. And so it goes around. And basically, at the end, as you seek wisdom, you will have a deeper, more profound relationship with God. Now, let me just say what this chapter is not saying is God is not saying to you, if you seek me, I will love you more. Right? So because the whole chapter, it says, my son. So it's a father coming to a son saying, my son, this is what I have for you. So God's love for you does not depend on how hard or how much you seek him. Period. Because that would be legalism, right? So God loves us, period. God loves us in Christ. He cannot more love us now than he will love us. He loves us now as much as he will love us when we see him face to face, right? He loves us in Christ because we're hidden in Christ. He loves us, period. There's nothing more we can do to earn God's love. But what he's talking about is if you're to seek him, you will experience and know that love more, right? It's like, you know, I have three kids and I'm trying to think how I could make fun of them here because I can't do that at Tyson's because they sit during my sermon. It's like, I'm trying to, like, you know, and, okay. Basically, it's, you know, my kids are a little older now, like they're in high school and middle school. And, you know, when they were younger, gosh, it was easy to get their affection. You just kind of walk through the door and they go, Dad! Oh, yes, I'm a good father. Come to me, my kids, and, you know, give them hug and, you know, high five and play with them, wrestle with them. I was like, oh, that's great. Man, now I walk in the door. Hello, I'm home. Where are you? They're on their phone or they're upstairs somewhere. And but, you know, as a father, I'm such an imperfect father. And I know that. I have long ways to go. But my heart is that I want them to, one, know that I love them. And two, I want what's best for them. Right? I want what's best for them. So, like things like, it goes even, I mean, it's like this even. You know, I've shared some, once in a while, I play basketball with some of the church guys here. Right? And so, now, I, once in a while, take my oldest son with me to play basketball. Right? And so, you know, I'm getting older, he's getting younger, or not younger, but he's, you know, he's young. And so, you know, we play, and, like, I take, like, 10 shots, and I miss all of them, which happens all the time now. Like, I'm, like, 0 for like 10, and I'm trying to get rebound. My back hurts, and I'm like, I'm just old guy just trying to like just run around a little bit. But before when I was younger, like I would think, man, that stinks. That's terrible. Man, I could be doing better. But now I've accepted the fact that that's like who I am and where I am. Now, the thing is, like, when I see my son play, like, even though I have a terrible game, like, I'm 0 for whatever, like, if I see him make few shots, like, I'm really happy. Like, I'm really happy. Like, in other words, my happiness is tied to, like, him. And that's how parents are for you. Parents get their joy through you and who you are and your success. What the book of Proverbs gives us is, it's not, the God is not saying, seek me more so that I can love you more. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I love you, son. I love you, my daughter. I love you. Seek me because I want to give you myself. I want to give you my best. I want to give you life. That's the heart of God the Father in this passage. And so what I want to say is, as we seek him, as we get to know him, it's not that we're seeking him to get a sense of approval. No, we have that already. But we seek him. We seek his wisdom because we know that God has what's best for us. That's what God wants to give us. And then verse 6, it says, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So on the one hand, this father figure, this God saying, I want you to seek wisdom from me. And the other hand, he says, God will give you wisdom. Right? Seek wisdom, but God will give you wisdom. What is that? We need to have both. On the one hand, if we don't have this sense of urgency, seek me, thirst after me, then we'll be complacent. And the other hand, if we think that we can get wisdom by our sheer effort, then there will be lack of assurance. Right? I mean, like, our hearts will feel anxious. Did I seek God enough? What this passage is telling us is, on the one hand, we seek God's wisdom. On the other hand, God gives it to us. There's a sense of assurance. In James chapter 1, it says, God, if you lack wisdom, ask, and our Heavenly Father will graciously give to you, give to those who ask. On the one hand, we ask, we seek. On the other hand, God gives to us. They go hand in hand. So there's a sense of assurance and as well as a sense of urgency in seeking God and his wisdom. The second thing that we get as we seek God's wisdom is verse 9. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. What it's saying is, I think it's saying that if you seek wisdom, then things like understanding, righteousness, justice, equity, good path, all these things will come to you. Wisdom will enter your heart. I think what he's saying is, we'll become people of character. Right? We'll become more like Christ. We'll become beautiful. We talked about that last Sunday. As we seek wisdom, wisdom will enter into our hearts and we will become the person that you want to be. So for instance, you know, as you think about 2018, some of you are, you know, want to improve perhaps in your friendship. You want to be someone that loves other people better. You know, maybe some of you here who are married, you want to be a better husband or better wife or better parent. You want to maybe make good decisions about your career and your finances. And you have all these things that you know that you need to do well and you want to get there. Well, this passage is telling us this is how you do it. The way you become better at relationships and where you become better at loving people is through wisdom. Wisdom will enter your heart as you seek it, and God will give it to you so that you will become better people, people with character that resembles Christ, right? It says, it'll come and will become someone who has understanding and righteousness and justice and equity. I mean, these things are character that displays Christ, and that will come to us. And so rather than, the Proverbs doesn't give us, here are five things that you need to do. It's giving us path to wisdom. You seek it, God will give to you, and it will transform your life. You'll begin to love people better. You'll begin to be, again, better friend and better husband and better wife, better coworker. All right, there's one other thing, one other benefit that we get is we get protection. So if you, let me just read a few verses here. Verse 8, and verse 7, it says, he stores up sound wisdom, upright. He's a shield. Verse 8, guarding the path of justice and watching over the way of his saints. And if you jump down to verse 11, discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you. So there's a sense of protection if you have wisdom. And then verses 12 on gives us two examples of how that protection will look like. Verse 12, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So first protection that we get is we get from these people, these men whose speech is literally twisted. They twist reality, and the danger comes not so much what they will do to you, but the danger comes how they will tempt you to follow them in their path of destruction. So it could be people who you work with, it could be people, your friend, whoever it might be, people who do not know God, who has no regards for God, they will speak words of deceitfulness, or twisted truth, literally twisted truth, to get you to join them in their path that leads to destruction. But it says discretion will guard you from that. Wisdom will protect you. So when we see that, when we, you know, encounter people like that, wisdom, if wisdom in your heart is in your heart, you will have discernment and understanding. You have discretion, foresight to say no or to discern how you should respond in certain ways. That's what he's saying. Wisdom will protect you from people like this. The second thing that is, the protection that we see is in verse 16. So you will be delivered from the forbidden women, a woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsake the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death. So there's that word. And her path to departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain path for life. The second example that this passage gives us is someone who has no regards for her marriage, her family, or God, who uses her words to deceive you, again, to follow her into a path of death. This is talking about sexual sin. And just, you know, a few thoughts. One, I don't know how many of you guys grew up in families that talked about sex, like your parents taught you about sex. The book of Proverbs has actually many chapters and verses about like sexual life and sexual sin. And it's written from father's perspective to his son, in our context, to his sons and daughters. So one application is, when you get married, or if you get married at some point, this is a topic that you should be talking to your kids all the time. Because if you don't do that, as a father, the book of Proverbs is that. It's a father talking to his son about, do not go there because the dead live there. Choose life, not death. So if you're not going to talk about that with them, well, they'll get that from others, other resources, other places. Again, I just make fun of my kids, if that's okay with you guys. Like, you know, initially, like when we talked about sex, they were like really curious. Whoa, really? That? Whoa, what is this? And so especially like a few of my kids, they were asking a lot of questions. Oh, yeah, you know, this and that. But now I go, hey, guys, let's talk about this. Whoa, what are you talking about, Dad? Come on. I don't want to talk about that. And like they try to run away from me. But we try to like talk about it, you know, when we can, because unless they hear it from me, from my wife, where are they going to hear it from? So when you become parents, this is something, it's an application from this book. It's all over Book of Proverbs. And there's a sense of like urgency, right? It's like, it will lead to death. And again, the father is saying, I want you to have life. Another thing about sin, or just, you know, we talked about this in the beginning, but kind of drifting. You know, it's sometimes we think in our Christian life we kind of say to ourselves kind of something like, you know, I'll sin now. Like, you know, at this moment I'm just going to give in to sin, whatever that might be. And we think, you know, later I will repent and go to God, and obviously He will love me and forgive me, which is true. And we can always go to God, always. But I think what happens, and this is true as you read Christian authors, not just current authors, but people who've lived, you know, walked with God for a long time, they would say something like this. If that happens and you repeat that over and over and over again for a season or maybe for years, and when you finally say, now, you know what, I'm going to turn to God, two things might happen to you. One, you'll turn to God and He will not be found. Actually, that's what book of chapter 1 is about. You turn to God and He's not there. And then the second, the worst thing might be that at some point as you keep repeat this cycle, you come to a point that you now no longer even have the desire to turn. That's what the Bible calls hardness of heart. Our hearts get so hard as we repeat sin, the cycle, that you come to a point where you now no longer even want to turn to God. Now, if you come to that point, that's a dangerous place to be. So we want to turn quickly. We want to be responsive to God whenever He comes. Now, when we turn to God and He's not there, that's because He is there, but we don't sense Him. We can't sense His love for us. If you're a child of God, right? I mean, you're a child of God, your love is secure, and you turn to Him, and He's there, He's your Father still, but you might not sense Him because it's been so long since you actually fellowshiped with Him. And if you're there, or if your heart's so hard, we need to turn, make a decisive turn, and turn to Him. That's actually what Proverbs chapter 5 is about. It's talking about sexual sin. And basically the father tells the son, you need to run from the sexual sin. And it says you need to run towards God, but towards your wife. You need to find, you know, contentment in your wife if you're married. Husband, if you're single, you need to find that in God. You give yourself again to God. Your body, soul, spirit, you throw yourself at God until you sense Him. And so, again, we kind of come back to my first point. And so, again, just kind of wrapping that up, another benefit, wisdom protects us from temptation. You know, we'll know what to do. We'll know when to run. We'll know what to say. We'll know because wisdom will become part of us. It will guard us, protect us. It will shield us. That's what this chapter is saying. You need wisdom. You need wisdom in your life if you're going to face the realities of sin and still maintain this path towards righteousness. You need wisdom in your soul. Now, maybe the way that we could close this today is maybe kind of thinking about just where you are. And, you know, we'll as we go along next four Sundays, looking at Proverbs, we'll kind of talk about different themes and different topics, and those things will be helpful and more applicable. But maybe today, it's just simply what Jesus asked that invalid. Do you want to be healed? Is there a desire in your heart for Him? That's a key question. Are you just drifting along? Is there a sense of complacency in your heart? That you're kind of okay with life and okay with, you know, who God is, who you are before God, and everything is just kind of okay. You're okay. Chapter 1 says that could be a dangerous place to be. Because it can easily lead to destruction. Is there a desire for God today? And I think that's a good question for us to ask as we enter 2018. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to grow? Is there a desire? So I thought we could kind of do that, say that prayer as we close our time. So I'm going to ask us to bow. Just close your eyes for maybe a minute or two. And let's just say that prayer. So, Jesus comes to us, and again, book of Proverbs says, gosh, Father comes to us and He wants to counsel us so that we might have life, so that we might have an abundant life. He's telling us, don't go that way because the dead live there. There's death there. So choose life. As we start 2018, let's do that, shall we? If some of you need to turn to God, we could do that today. If some of us, you just sense your heart sort of hard or it's calloused and you sense very little desire, maybe your prayer could be, God, I don't have much desire, but I want to respond to you in your voice. I want to just give us a minute to make that your prayer this morning. And again, you know, we'll talk about some different topics that will be a lot more practical moving forward, but this is just, chapter 2 is just saying, here are the first steps. It's turning to Him and crying out for wisdom. It's seeking and searching for it. So let's do that this morning together. Then I'll say a prayer, and we'll say a prayer together and close our time. Heavenly Father, we want to be attentive to Your voice. We want to listen to You. We do not want to casually approach You and use Your wisdom for us. We trust and believe that You desire what is best for us. A father's heart that is wanting for his sons and daughters to choose the path of life rather than walking into path of death. And so this morning as we enter into another year, Lord, we want to have our hearts wide open to hear from You, to led by You, to be with You. And so together as Great Commission Community Church, we seek after wisdom. We pray that we might become people that live a life that You've called us to live and become the people that You've called us to become. People with righteousness and justice and goodness, that we can display Your beauty to those around us. So work in our hearts today, this morning, oh God. Give us longing for You and help us to seek You with a sense of urgency. Thank You that You're so gracious, and thank You that You're so patient and so kind. And so, knowing who You are, oh God, we run after You and throw ourselves at You. We ask that You would take hold of us and increase our desire, increase our capacity to love You. And in Jesus' name we pray.